And comes from Deuteronomy 15, verses 4 through 5. But there will be no poor among you, for the Lord will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess, if only you will strictly obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all this commandment that I command you today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Acts 4, verses 32 through 37. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before I continue, let me pray. Holy Spirit, you inspired this. You know what you meant. We pray that you will be here helping each of us to learn what you know each of us needs to learn. Pray that you will be with me. Help my words to be clear. In Jesus' name. Amen. A number of things have been credited over the years to the church, both bad and good. Of the many things on the good side, it is notable that the church early on had set up hospitals and orphanages. I saw a date for one last night of, I believe, 372, big complex that included guest houses and church was there too. The habit of the culture at the time was to respond to these issues, to people who were sick or had no parents. Their attitude was basically, too bad for you. But the early Christians responded differently. They responded with open, generous hearts, and they eventually developed the concepts that we know today in the hospital and in the orphanage. In my study of church history, I found four things considered by human observation to have contributed to the spread of the church. Roman highways made travel much easier. The Greek language brought about communication in a common tongue. Jewish monotheism was strikingly different from all the other religions in its teaching and its morality. But the church added Christian charity with an energy backing it that was astounding. Those earliest brothers and sisters of ours would go do odd things, like going to the town garbage heaps to rescue abandoned babies. Yes, even then, we were pro-life before there was pro-life. We at that time were marked as being generous, routinely so with perfect strangers, and even more so with our own. In today's text, we see another story of our brothers and sisters. Having just been told to keep quiet by the local authorities, the church prayed for boldness. Now we see them be generous with a care for each other that was so extensive that no one was in need. So what was it that came in between? As always happens, God sent his grace first. Then their internal attitudes were changed. And finally, their actions produced the result. It is because of God's grace that the early Jerusalem church gave generously. God is the initiator. He spoke the universe into being in Genesis. Romans tells us that there's nothing good in us, so that when God's Spirit is in us, that is the way that we live by the Spirit, not because of what is in us to begin with. Last week, we learned how the early church prayed to God for boldness. They wanted to continue spreading the message. We see here today that their prayer was answered. In verse 33, it says, "With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." The Jewish authorities did not want them to preach the gospel anymore. They did not want it stated over and over again that Jesus had come and died to save sinners and then had gotten up and walked out of his tomb. But that is not what the disciples did. Like my nephew Riley, automatically smiling when he sees Christmas lights, the disciples automatically spoke. They spoke the only message they had, the resurrection of Jesus. And we can understand in this that to the gatherings of the church, they spoke God's word in his message of grace. In this same verse, verse 33, we see great grace was upon them all. This should be no surprise to us. We have a saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. Fuel, air, and heat bring the fire. The fire gives off greater heat along with smoke. We know this from physics and chemistry. In the past, we used to run our lives by it until science brought us better options. God's grace came to the early church, as it does to us, through the preaching of God's word. We are familiar with Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is why we preach the word every Sunday, and why the word is preached in any church that is truly following him. This is why the message of the cross is so central. We need to keep reminding ourselves of his grace. It is the foundation to who we are and to all we do. The power of the apostles' preaching and the grace that came from it was the foundation to the early church. We see it in how their internal attitudes were affected. First, they were unified. Luke tells us that they were of one heart and soul. They weren't putting on a performance for the outside world to come in and view like in a theater. It was internal. Of course, there were even the stresses we read about last week that would help contribute to it. Think of just about any football team. The team gets unified because they're facing an opponent. The unity may be across such seemingly major barriers as race, like in the movie Remember the Titans. Is this enough? No. We know of teams that haven't been unified. Many professional teams can end up displaying this. But we know that great grace was on this team, the early church in Acts. And so we know that even the presence of the enemies, both human and spiritual, the presence of those enemies only served to bring them together. We also see the unity displayed in another way. At the end of verse 32, we read that they had everything in common. No one hoarded his possessions by locking them away in a vault of privacy. This does not mean that the rest of the believers held title deed to what every individual owned. And I'll speak more to that in a minute. What it does mean is that each individual chose the use of his own property for the benefit of the church. We even see this today in such things as hosting people to a fellowship event or loaning a vehicle for someone else's use. This, too, we can attribute to the great grace that was on them. It is because of God's grace that the early church had an internal attitude of unity. One other attitude we see is an attitude of stewardship. Stewardship starts with the recognition that comes from Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Not just the earth, but anything made from the earth. And of course, everything is made some way, somehow, from the earth. So unless you're an Avenger and you have a hammer or a shield made of vibranium, everything you have comes from God. This principle is applied to it, even if you have the title deed. Now, what else is involved in stewardship? Well, we see from the parable of the talents that there's an expectation of needing to report on its use. If it is the Lord's, we are accountable to him for how we have used it. We are holding it in trust for him. We manage it. The early church here in Acts had this attitude. We see evidence that each individual that had property understood himself as being a manager of it for God. So he did not keep it in the vault of privacy. He used it for the benefit of the church because the church was God's people. But this is not a normal thing, not in culture, even in today's culture. People like keeping things to themselves. The difference between the early Christians and the other people in the city of Jerusalem was that God's grace was on them. God's grace had changed their hearts, as predicted in Ezekiel 11, verses 19 and 20. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. It is because of God's grace that the early church had an attitude of stewardship. I talked earlier about fuel, heat, and air leading to fire, and fire then leading to more heat and smoke. We have seen these unusual attitudes of unity and stewardship as they're represented in the early church among our early brothers and sisters. These two attitudes combine very naturally into mutual care for each other. And this care was sacrificial. It was a continual characteristic action of the church that someone would sell property that they owned and give the proceeds to the church. In at least one version of Scripture, for good reason, they include the phrase from time to time. It wasn't a command of the apostles. It wasn't necessarily a weekly thing. It was just when the Spirit moved them. They would just do it. Then they would lay it at the apostles' feet. Take in that picture for a moment. A property owner comes in and sees three or four apostles gathered and approaches them with the proceeds for sale, puts it on the ground at their feet. Personally, I can tell you I would find this annoying because inwardly I would be grumbling, I have to bend down and get it, pick it up off the ground, thank you very much. For their time and culture, it was a way of saying, I give this to you. You rule this now, not me. Among other things, it was a way that they honored the apostles. A similar gesture does happen today, though. I realized I have had people place money in my hands as a gift to me, you know, like to help out with the cost of something I did. And as I gently objecting, they will take their hand and close it over the money. And so you get this picture. Can I tell you, there's not much of a protest you can give once that happens. It gets the message across. The result of all this in the early church was that no one needed anything. The money was distributed as a need arose. It was a regular, ongoing thing. To emphasize how it happened, Luke includes the example of Barnabas, a later missionary to Gentiles. He was nicknamed Son of Encouragement, so he was evidently a warm, kind-hearted man. He owned a field, perhaps in Cyprus, and he sold it and he gave the money to the apostles for the care of the poor in the church. Now, this would have been an aha moment for any Jews reading the book of Acts. In Deuteronomy 15:4, we see, "But there will be no poor among you." It was a command by way of stated expectation that God's people were to take care of each other when anyone was in need. It didn't really happen then. But now God's people in the early church had a new spirit in them and a new heart of flesh. Now they could walk in God's statutes and obey God's rules. Now they cared for each other, and no one had any need. We ourselves do this. The first Sunday of every month, we collect an extra offering after the end of the service for the diaconate to use in care of the poor. And do the counting in your head. That's this Sunday. It'll happen after church. We follow in the same footsteps as our early brothers and sisters because we have gracefully been given a heart of flesh. It is because of God's grace that the early church cared for the poor among them. Now, I am not saying today that this is prescriptive for us. I have no specific need that I need to present to you. This is not saying go out today and everybody sell your house and sell your car and we'll all live in a commune. I am saying that this should be descriptive of us. It should be said of us that we are prone to generosity at the drop of a hat. And I know of examples. I once knew an InterVarsity area director who, in a team meeting, gave his car away to one of his supervisees who was in desperate need of a car. I know of people who freely invite others into their homes. Just 3 weeks ago, I spent the night with a couple in Alabama on a day's notice. These unplanned actions came from hearts that were marked by generosity, in the same way the early church was marked by generosity, the way the church has been marked throughout the ages by generosity. The church has always responded to God's grace to us in the death of Jesus for our sins by being generous. It is because of God's grace that the church in all time gives generously. I encourage you to be regularly and spontaneously generous to individuals you run across, like the Good Samaritan. I encourage you to be regularly and spontaneously generous to your local church, supporting its mission. I even encourage you, if God so moves, to be regularly and spontaneously generous in the broader church. Pick your favorite mission organization. Do it all freely. Do it with what is your own. Do it as God leads in response to God's grace. Paul sums it up well in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through 9. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He is our dad, and he started it. So we do it because we are his children following in his footsteps. It is the family business. So go have fun with it. Amen.